Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This episode of Spaces Podcast is supported by Twinmotion, the simple real-time rendering solution to create high-quality imagery, client presentations, and interactive experiences that help communicate your design ideas fast. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Good morning, all.
And you're listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, we're going to do a little bit of a extension, continuation of our last conversation, but a little bit more focused. Last conversation, meaning our metaverse discussion. So I wanted to talk about specifically the creative design side of our industry. And I really think that that part of our industry is going to flourish to an extent that it's going to draw people from reality into the metaverse world as far as what they act like, the workload that they have.
Okay.
Can you see those dots connecting in your mind?
Totally. That I can understand.
And when I say creative design part of our industry, I'm talking about like architects, interior designers. Not the engineers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
they're not creative.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they come up with creative solutions.
No, they're dream crushers. Like, this is how it works, right? No, architect, you can't do it that way. It doesn't work.
I didn't mean that in any bad sense.
But I do.
So you can see those dots being connected.
Yeah.
And some of the things that come to mind recently in the news, you know, Zaha Hadid Architects.
No.
Okay, blank look. Okay. Yeah. They're one of the biggest architectural firms, design firms in the world.
Okay. So I should know them. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure if I showed you, you could, while we're talking, you can pull up the Instagram ZHA. It probably will come up. Okay. So Zaha recently partnered with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds Mobile, which is a video game I never played, but I'm sure maybe some people that have kids around that age group will probably have known. But they partner with this gaming group to create all the architecture in that game, or some level of architecture within that game. And it started to click because I've also heard stories long before this in the metaverse conversation. If you've ever heard of Second Life, it was like a old game, that internet game that was sort of this.
I played sports. I played sports and worked.
So it was this game that had like this this whole world, and you created a character, second and you can go around and basically live a second life in this video game.
Are these the same people that played like all the card games and like all the were chasing Pikachu and stuff? No, seriously, like what group would that is that fantasy realm? Was it the same idea?
Not necessarily. Okay. It's just a video.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
So I've heard of architects in that game playing, I think it was called Second Life, I'm pretty sure, because The Office did an episode on it. Okay. And I can't remember if my brain is mixing up what they called it in The Office or it is in real life. But the concept is basically there's this virtual world, you create an avatar, and you can live another life in the game.
Okay.
So I had heard of architects basically designing homes in that game and selling them to people
In the
with
game?
in the game.
Okay.
So it's not that far-fetched to see that once this metaverse thing gets up and running, a lot of people starting to at least dip their toe in to see how successful they could be at it. And if it takes off, almost shifting entirely to that because you don't have the headaches of reality, of the zoning codes, of gravity, of angry clients. Well, you may still get angry
You're
clients,
gonna get angry clients no matter what you do. Yeah.
but there's a lot less hoops to jump through and more freedom. Do you see that happening? And what are your thoughts?
Oh man, I think that's probably pretty hard for me to even understand because you know what I mean? I've never really been in that world, the whole, VR world and fantasy. Like I said, I don't, I never played those games or did that type of stuff. I can see, I don't know about selling stuff to, well, I mean, I guess if you could look at it from like a contract standpoint with a builder, if you're showing them a product and that kind of stuff, I get that. If that's where you're going with it. I mean, you talked about selling it to people in the game, but
No,
no.
like so okay, detach yourself from reality, stretch your mind to put
Okay.
yourself
I'll
here.
do my best.
So imagine you're in this video game, which is very much like real life, and
Okay.
you have however much money and you want to build your dream home in the video game. You would find an architect who is also in this gaming world, and you'd say, I want you to design a home for me to live in, just like real
Yeah,
world,
I
but
mean, I guess they would because you look at all these games and that like my kids play, what is it, Roblox or whatever, and so it's like these people design games and design different things in them that you then pay to like be able to play, I think. So I don't know why it would be any different for somebody that's a bit more in tune to wanting to live that, live out a fantasy life, right? Is what you're saying. So I guess it would go hand in hand with that. I guess the only question I have is when we're talking about like pay somebody to do it, like what kind of funds are we talking? Because then it goes in that whole other stretch that we were talking about before. I'm like, what are people doing? You know what I mean? Like it's scary, right? Because it would have to be worthwhile for the architect to do it. You know what I mean? Spend the time to design a house, which is probably going to be take the same considerable amount of time, to draft it and do whatever to be able to put it in this world, right? So I gotta imagine it's not cheap. That's a lot of expendable income, or it's a side
Well,
thing.
one of the more labor-intensive parts of our process is actually on the construction document side,
Okay. Okay.
time-wise.
So from an illustration standpoint or whatever, it's not that big a deal
Not that it's not that big of a deal.
in comparison.
It's definitely difficult to build like a virtual building, but converting it into something that can be, looked at and built in reality, there's not as much
Makes
time
sense.
as the construction documents.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I could totally see that happening. I could totally see people spending money on what they, their vision or their desire or dream, to be able to fulfill that elsewhere if they can't do it here. You know what I mean? In reality or whatever you want to call it. I could totally see that.
I don't know if you're aware or if you watch Westworld on HBO. Big, who's Bjork Ingels, I believe it was, I'm pretty sure it was Big. I think they did sort of the land development or something in the movie or in the show. So you're starting to see these architects diversify their services and getting into all these other things of film, creating these backgrounds in film, going
Yeah.
into gaming.
It's a good point. I mean, because it makes it so much easier. So, like you look at movies and film these days and everything's done on a green screen and with so much CGI and all that kind of, I mean, I guess that makes sense. It really kind of does. No lawsuits either.
Well, I'm sure there could
So
be.
somebody will figure something
There,
out.
if you don't deliver what you promised you were going to deliver, but there's a lot less opportunity, I think,
Yeah.
because I've always compared our industry to like football, where
To football.
there's so many different people and players. If somebody screws up, it screws up the entire team. So
True.
you're all connected, and it's hard to orchestrate everybody to do one thing at once. So if somebody, messes up, you're going to feel the pain.
Yeah. That's fair.
So you take out pretty much all the other players for the most part, and it's just you
A drawing.
and or your client. So there's only two people at that point. So there's a lot less opportunity of lawsuit.
I mean, do you realize what we're saying though? We're talking about designing stuff for a non-reality world and making money off of a non-reality world. This is going back to surrogates and like my fear of where this is going.
But I
You know
mean,
what I mean?
that's where we've gotten to in our industry. And from an architect's perspective, we've had this conversation before, but our fees have been pushed so hard, I think, in proportion to the amount of work
Squeezed.
that, the amount of work that architects do, the amount of liability that we're on the hook for, compared to the fees that we even attempt to get and then get pushed down to, unless you're like the Zahas, the Biggs, it's very hard to be in this industry. And I'm just constantly seeing this branch off of people and loss of interest for these reasons, and people trying to figure out other ways to diversify services, because it's just so hard and there's so little value. People see so little value in architects.
Do you think it's a cyclicality issue though? And the reason I say that is because like even our industry, like I get pretty disenchanted at times with what I deal with. And you know, because you get devalued all the time. You know what I mean? Like it's their job. I mean, if you think about it, the owner's job is to try and build what they need for the cheapest possible thing to render the most profit possible, right? So I mean, I don't really load them for doing that because I get it, it's a business thing. So, and the same point, your product, my product, whatever it is, we want to sell it to somebody at the highest possible profit maximization because that's how you make money, right? And I wonder if it's a cyclical thing because at least, you know, I know we're, you know, you're younger in the game than I am, but you know, I'm still relatively young in the game, but I've seen a couple cycles. And it's like you get driven down and then it comes back up. And then you get driven down and then it comes back up. You know, I've seen that twice, right? And so I'm just one, and then, you know, and it's no surprise, you know, like right now I'm semi disenchanted in it because everything's just getting beat up. And it's like, I don't really want to deal with this for this, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. But then maybe it comes back again in another, what I think is another year after this thing dives and comes back and you're getting paid what you needed to do a proper job, you know?
I don't think it's cyclical because I'll say this for example, throughout my entire career, and we're not that far, we're only a year or two apart.
You're only 39?
I'm 37, turning 38.
We're a couple years apart, yeah.
Yeah.
2.5 years apart.
So
Freaking
it's not that big of a difference.
youngster. Wait till you hit 40, then we'll talk.
So, for example, when we're going through our project, an architect will send out their fees. They won't get paid, even though you're hounding the client to get paid and asking for it. The depending on what the fee is, I've seen clients question architects' fees or not pay it immediately. But structural engineers, it's like whatever they propose, it gets accepted, it gets paid quickly. And so there's just this different understanding. They look at structure as like a requirement. I have to have them. They are very valuable, which, yes, they are. But the look at the architect is like only a pretty picture. You're not that important. You're just there to dress it up.
Yeah, I guess in the process you need the structural engineer to sign off on stuff, right? To move forward on things with the city. Like you have to have all their data to be able to show those things. Like is it a cr like a it's a pinch point, right?
Well, both are really.
Are
You
they
both
really?
need an architectural stamp as well. But for most projects over, what is it, two stories and beyond only wood frame construction, I think the square footage is like 4,000 square feet. So it's a lot that you can build without an architect. But some cities do require architecture stamp. We're going to take a quick break to share a little bit more about our sponsors. Let's talk ArcViz technology. Powered by the near limitless Unreal Engine, our friends at Twinmotion offer a fast and easy way to produce stunning real-time visualizations and immersive experiences for your clients. Twinmotion gives you the tools you need to make faster decisions and relay information to your clients in a way that instantly speaks to them. Breathe life into your scene by changing the season, the weather, the time of day, just by moving a slider, immersing your client in a way that they'll love, and more importantly, be able to truly picture themselves in. Why not share your design with stakeholders in collaborative reviews and edit your scene together? There's no better way to get buy-in than by making your clients feel part of the development process. Right now, they're running an exclusive free trial, which you can head to twinmotion.link/spaces to get your hands on. That's twinmotion.link/spaces. So with all of that said, I want to get an outsider's point of view, because we've had these conversations endlessly within the architecture profession of trying to figure out how do you shift this. But what happens if architects just are just like, I'm done. I'm going to go do other stuff. I'm going to go into the gaming world. I'm going to go into movies. I'm going to go into metaverse and do my thing there. What happens to the real world, in your opinion?
Well, I think we have, and we're talking an all or nothing scenario. Like all of a sudden they all just leave for the most part, right?
Yeah, just for dramatic sake.
You know, I think anytime something like that happens, there's a struggle for a short time period, mm-hmm. right? Inevitably, somebody figures out some type of solution. You know what I mean? And the issue is, it's kind of like even being, I think, one associate in a company. It's like you're not. It's not that you're not replaceable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like everybody's replaceable. It's just to what degree. Yeah. So yeah. What I would say is, like, if all of a sudden all the architects decided to collude and just bail and be like, we're going to go be, you know, game nerds all the time, right? which is fine. Some other solution would present itself mm-hmm. somehow, some way. And so I think your product types and your design and everything would suffer greatly. Mm-hmm. I think for a while, until somebody else kind of takes those reins and schools pump out more or whatever. Now, if it completely went out to the, you know, out the door, I think you'd have your structural engineers and people like that have at least seen it for a long time, mm-hmm. try to start putting stuff together, and it would become another branch off of what they do. You know what I mean? And inevitably I would tell you that, you know, there's never a situation in which everybody's going to leave. So then you would just create a market opportunity for those few that are like, yeah, I'll let them bail out and then I'll capitalize on it. Now it's a supply and demand thing, and I'll probably get all my fees times 10. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That used to be type of deal, right? I mean, that would be the more natural thing that I would see, I think, occur, mm-hmm. In my opinion, because not everybody sits by their word. You know what I mean? When they say they want to go out and we're all going to do this, there's inevitably somebody that screws it up, right? But I think that's what would happen. But back to your point, everybody just left. Product would be bland. You wouldn't be able to stretch the limits of design because by nature, most of your engineers don't have the creative side, right? I don't remember if it's left brain or right brain, but they have one side, and then the architect tends to have another side because of the creative side. So it would suffer. Mm-hmm. And it would suffer greatly for a while. And I don't know, this day and age, though, with everything becoming so dense, how much design there's really left. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean that in a knock, but like, even my wife, when we were driving to church the other day, we were at the beach, did a walk, driving through Irvine, you know, she's looking at this major development that's been there forever. And she's like, it looks like a prison ward. You know what I mean? Just because there was so much density and it's so blocky and all that kind of stuff. It's like, how, you know, maybe that's what it would become. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is scary, because then that doesn't evoke emotion and make you want to look at things, and it just becomes very monochromatic, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what I think would happen for several years. It would become very bland, very stark.
Yeah.
And then inevitably something will heal itself. You know what I mean? Some solution would come off of that.
Or people get used to it, maybe.
Yeah. But I think what's going to happen is, even if that type of world, in any industry or environment, you see that all of a sudden something comes out and it's like, it draws your attention because everything got so bland and so, you know, black and white, that all of a sudden somebody with a different thought comes out and they're like, who's this person? You know what I mean? And it's this really beautiful design and all this kind of stuff. And then I think that would start sparking that desire to get back into that, because that fame that goes with it, that notoriety that goes with that, excitement that goes with it, people are drawn to that usually, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you'd have the architects leave a virtual world that they really can't see their product in, and then go back to swing back when they feel like the prestige is kind of back into it, right?
Yeah. Because I think, going to your point of the, you know, the blandness, you know, one of the things that aren't talked about that architects do bring is this ability to synthesize everyone's input. And, mm-hmm. you know, to layer, you have this design that's layered on, and you take all of these inputs from every other
Every
direction
angle.
and be able to bring that into something that most people can generally accept and get it approved.
You're like the music writer and the orchestrator at the same time, right? Like,
Yeah.
I mean, truly, like, and I agree with you because I've been in those meetings before when you sit in rooms and they're picking apart product and they're literally like, from all these, I like this. And sometimes I'm listening, I start laughing because I'm like, whatever this guy said over here is in complete disagreement with whatever this gal said or guy and back and forth. And you're like, how the hell? And you know, a couple of meetings later, they've got a product they all agree on.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty amazing feat to see that happen.
Yeah. Another part of this was to get someone else's opinion because we all talk about our own perspectives and how much we're worth and value. So just to hear someone else's thought on what,
Well, you know, builders don't really do it in-house yet. Like, I feel like builders have attempted to do a lot of things in-house that they think are not a big deal. I mean, I'm not using their phrasing, right? But they've attempted over the years, and I've seen multiples try to do different trades and, you know, think they can save costs and, you know, whatever it is, or control or however that looks like. And normally it goes away. But I've never seen them to have an in-house architecture studio. I've not yet seen that. And so I think that's a good thing for you guys, right? That they don't try to do that. Because I think they realize it's a totally different, it takes a different view to be able to
Because they can't pay them what they want to pay us. They won't stay
that.
there if they try to pay them the same amount.
I don't disagree.
That's exactly why. All right. Thanks for joining me, Jason. And thanks for our listeners for listening. We will talk again on Thursday. Thanks. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. By checking them out and supporting them, you help us keep this show going. Thank you to Twin Motion for their support of this podcast episode. Don't forget to visit twinmotion.link/spaces today and try Twin Motion for free. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually in putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
You know, when you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.